Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Reality Spirituality. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington, an inner peace practitioner, oracle, teacher, student, student of the universe and its laws. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. What the hell? Happiness Specialist, inner peace practitioner. Who the hell does she think she is? Well, before I start, I just want to say welcome to the show and share my definition. This show is going to be, whew, because I didn't do the show last week, so I am exploding. I cannot wait to share with you what happened to me last week. And what happened was hip replacement surgery, but that's not the story. Let me just start by sharing my definition of happiness. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And the call-in number for today's show is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. I see people in the queue, and I will get to the queue probably in a little bit, but I've got to share what the beginning and the introduction here. The definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. When I say happiness is a state of mind, happiness is an energy. It's a vibration. It's a foundation. It's an identity. It becomes your identity. It becomes every ounce of your cell, every ounce of yourself feels peace. When I say peace, it's the same. Peace, happiness, I use all the terms the same because the energy is the same. That energy of peace, that energy of that energy of contentment, that energy of satisfaction, that energy of feeling balanced, the energy of feeling relaxed, regardless of what's happened. I'd like to share the analogy. You're standing up in a rowboat in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, standing in a rowboat all by yourself, and the storms, the winds are taking you up, down, the turbulent waters. But you're peaceful. The practice works. Happiness, peace, inner peace, is a practice skill. Happiness and inner peace is a practiced skill. So I want to welcome you, because what I do on this show is share with you what to practice, what the hell to practice. And the interesting thing about this, about what I share, is the message that it's not an easy message to hear. It's controversial. It's disruptive. It can be contentious. You want the world to change? You want change? Here we go. Put on your seatbelt. It's time to look in the mirror. It's time to look in the mirror where all change begins. That includes me. It's time to look in the mirror. Now, one of the reasons why, you know, when I ask people, hey, you want to be happier? Everybody's, yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me some happy. I want to be happy, Rebecca. Yeah. But when I hand them a mirror, some of them go running the opposite way. So there is a commitment to peace, a commitment to that vibration of contentment. It's prioritizing that vibration of peace. I use the word peace, happiness, all the same energy. You know what I'm saying? It's a commitment to that, regardless of what happens to you. So I'm going to ask you a question, not a question. I'm going to ask you questions. On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? What is it? Is it 10? Is it 9? Is it 8? Because whatever you say, whatever number you choose, is going to reflect your commitment. I'm up here. It's number 10 for me. It's been number 10 for a while. When I was younger, I share that I wanted to, when I made a wish, birthday candles, you know, and you blow out the birthday candles on your cake. I made the same wish all the time. I wanted to live to my potential. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't have no clue. And I wanted to be happy. The five biggest regrets of the dying, one of the regrets is I wish I would have been happier. You see it. You see it all over. Just to bring up a recent news story. Back in November, that magazine GQ, Will Smith was in GQ. And one of the things that he said, you know, I wanted to be the biggest movie star in the world. Well, he accomplished that. But guess what else he said in that article, in that magazine, in November 2021? But I wasn't happy. You hear it all the time. People reaching their goals, getting all of their goals. But something's missing. And on this show, I share with you what's missing. So what's your definition of happiness, and who and what can subtract from your happiness today? Are you as happy when faced with inevitable challenges? Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you feel? Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? I see people in the queue. I'm going to get to you. I'm going to get you in a moment. The guest number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it's like any other skill. The more you commit to the practice, the more you practice, guess what? It is a daily practice. You don't get any breaks. You don't get any time off. You don't get lunch breaks. You don't get vacations. The first part of the practice is gradually, slowly eliminating all of those behaviors that have been proven, that are programmed, and that have been proven to subtract from happiness, that have been proven to subtract from your peace. Some of those behaviors are having expectations, blaming someone for a circumstance for how you feel, comparing yourself to others, worrying, lack of acceptance, believing words have power, having attachments, noticing what someone else is doing, having impatience. Part of the practice is being patient with yourself, being patient with your own growth, being patient with how life unfolds. And you can do that when you practice the behaviors that add to happiness. Well, what are those, Rebecca? Thank you for asking. Trust. Practicing trust. It's impossible to worry if you practice trust. It's impossible to be worried when you trust. What do you trust, Rebecca? You trust that whatever has happened to you, whatever is happening to you, is happening there to serve you. There's a reason, regardless of how it feels, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of the stories that your ego mind tells you, whatever is happening is, especially the most uncomfortable circumstances, is there to serve you. Trust. Let go. Surrender. Resist. Resist no moments. accept, is that a sentence? Resist no moments. How about this? Don't resist in the moment. Something like that, but resist no moments. Let me share what happened to me last week, Saturday, where the practice was in full, the practice was being implemented 100%. You are not going to believe this story. I can't make it up. You are not going to believe what happened to me. Last Friday, 5 a.m., it was April the 8th, I rolled into surgery to have my left hip replaced. Now, the good news is, and you know, the universe works. I use the term universe. You can use whatever term you like, God, spirit, higher power, whatever term you like, doesn't matter to me. Energy source. Last Friday, April the 8th, I had left hip replacement surgery. And if you know and listen to my show, I've been a fitness instructor for over 40 years. And 15 years ago, I had my left hip scoped. I had arthroscopic surgery. Well, 15 years later, now it's time, I'm bone on bone, and now it's time to get the hip replaced. I had no idea that I was going to have a surgery at this state in my life. No idea. I'm 66 years old. I was done. I was over with surgeries. But like anything else that happens, like anything else that rolls into my life and plops itself in my lap, hip replacement surgery was part of my destiny. Thanks, universe. Thanks for nothing. Don't think I was happy about it. But one of the things that the practice is accepting, one of the things that I practice is acceptance. And I know that whatever, and this is for you too, whatever I'm experiencing, it's there to serve me. It's there for my good, for my betterment, for my growth, for my expansion. It's there for my transformation. So here we go. Hip replacement surgery. The procedure 15 years later has changed. Now they go in from the front. It's called anterior hip replacement. And instead of 15 years ago, the hip replacement recovery time being 6 months, now the recovery time is 6 weeks. I was walking the same day of surgery. Not far. I didn't go far. I walked down maybe about, I don't know, 50 feet, 100 feet with my walker the same day of surgery. So I was excited, very surprised, very pleasantly surprised because I had no expectations of how I was going to feel, how fast I was going to recover, none of it. One of the practices, if you want to experience more peace, more inner peace, is letting go and eliminating all expectations. That alone is going to make a shift in your life. But I digress. Walking on Friday, and the next day was Saturday. Jeez Louise. The next day, Saturday, I was released from the hospital. Released from the hospital to go into rehab. In the same area, I was in Arcadia, California, in the same area, maybe 5 minutes from the hospital. Here I am. I am admitted to rehab. It's a rehab center. Now, I've been in a lot of rehab centers visiting people, but I have never been in a rehab center that looked this bad, from cleanliness to the patients to the shower in the hall. I wouldn't have, if I had a dog, I wouldn't bathe my dog in the shower. It was really, really, really bad. But one of the things that I practice is acceptance. And I knew I was there for a reason, but I didn't know what the reason was until maybe about 2 hours after I'd been admitted. One of the nurses came to my room, and she said, you need to have a tuberculosis shot. Tuberculosis shot? I said, no, thank you. I mean, I had been poked with needles, IVs, this IV didn't work, that IV didn't work. I mean, I am one of the things, I am very, I have very small veins, and so I know exactly what veins that work and which ones don't. And I had been poked at least 5 times prior to Saturday. So I declined. I declined a tuberculosis test. I said, no, thank you. No, thank you. I don't want one. But, well, it's just a little prick. It's just a little prick under the skin, and it's part of our policy. No, thank you, was my response. Half hour later, another person comes to my door and asks me, well, you're going to have a TB shot to stay here. It's part of our policy. And if you don't want to get a TB, it's not a shot, but it's a test. And, but I saw a needle. I was saying, no, thank you. And she said, if you refuse the tuberculosis test, then you're going to have to get a chest X-ray. I had just come from the hospital. I had as many tests as you can imagine, including COVID tests, as many tests, blood drawn. I was not going to be tested for tuberculosis. I was healthy. I am healthy. And one of the things I realized, especially after working at the Department of Justice for over 20 years, I realized that especially with welfare, not welfare, Medicare. Sometimes it's a scam, and sometimes it's just to get more money from the insurance, and that's exactly what this was. So I refused it for the second time. The number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. I'll get to all of your calls, I promise. The third time a woman comes in, she knocks on the room. She says, Rebecca, if you do not take a tuberculosis test, you are going to have to leave the facility. You are going to have to leave. It's our policy for you to be tested for tuberculosis. If you refuse, you're going to have to leave the facility. Now, this is the day after surgery. And I said, well, where would I go? And let me tell you something, my dear audience. With every word and every statement this woman made, Nurse Missy, with every statement and every word she made telling me I was going to have to leave the facility, the calmer I became. She came back to the room. Nurse Missy came back to the room, and she says, "If you," and now she's not yelling at me, but her voice is kind of like the voice I'm using right now. It's a little stronger voice, more, a little bit more pushy, just like this, how I'm sounding. She says, "Rebecca, you're going to have to leave. We're going to have to." I said, "Where would I go?" Back to the hospital. I'm going to call 911, and we're taking you back to the hospital. You're in severe pain. You just had your hip surgery done yesterday, right? I said, yes. She says, so you're in severe pain, and you have to leave. You are not going to stay here without getting a tuberculosis test. You cannot. You can't stay here. And the angrier she got with me and the more threatening she got, the calmer I received her words and I received her behavior. I didn't even recognize myself. I didn't know who was in my body. I have never felt so calm while being threatened. I've been threatened before. I've been yelled at before. I've been called a bitch, you know, crazy bitch, all of that before. I've been called selfish, toxic, to my face. But I have never, ever, ever experienced someone yelling at me, threatening me, telling me day after surgery that I'm going to be kicked out of a facility. And the only way she can kick me out of a facility is to call 911 and to say that I'm in severe pain. And I said to her, I said, Nurse Missy, but I'm not in severe pain. Just like that. But I'm not in severe pain. I couldn't be any calmer. And she says, well, and now she's escalating. She's escalating her volume and her intensity. And she says, well, if you're not in severe pain, I'm going to tell them that you're a danger to yourself. A danger to myself? She says, I'm going to tell them you're a danger to, because she needed a reason to call 911. She needed a reason to call 911 to have them pick me up and take me back to the hospital. So she said, I'm going to tell the 911 that you're a danger to yourself, and then they're going to admit you to the psych ward. Now, listen, between me and you, I could be admitted to the psych ward and do just fine. But this is an unscheduled visit, and for that evening, it was not the truth. This woman, Nurse Missy, tells me, if you don't go along with this program, you're going to have a problem. I mean, threatening. She kept coming back and forth to my room, probably at least an hour and a half, threatening me. I'm going to call 911. I'm going to call 911. Did you change your mind? Did you change your mind? Did you change your mind? And every time I would say no. And one of the last times she came to my room, I turned on my recorder on my phone. So I have everything on tape. I have her saying, "You yesterday you had surgery, right? Hip surgery, and you're in pain, right?" And I said, "No, I'm not in pain." She said, "Well, then I'll tell them that you are a danger to yourself. You're taking your meds, and you're not supposed to be taking your meds. You're a danger to yourself. You're going to the psych ward." And I said, "Neither one of them were true. Neither one of what you said was true." Now, meanwhile, the staff at the rehab center, there were two staff. One was a supervising nurse, because Nurse Missy was a supervising nurse. So there were two supervising nurses on duty, and one was a gentleman named Mark. So there was Mark, and then there was the nurse that asked if I wanted the tuberculosis test the first time. So both of them came to my room at separate times and told me, listen, she can't do this to you. You're going to stay here. There's no way she's going to call 911. Just relax and try to rest. Now it's 11 o'clock at night, the day after surgery. I am exhausted. Exhausted. Knock on the door. It's 911. Two very strong gentlemen, very handsome, but strong gentlemen, gather all of my things, put me on a gurney, and roll my ass right out of the rehab center to take me back to the hospital. I kid you not, audience, when I tell you that my energy, the peace that I felt, the lack of concern, the lack of worry, the trust that I was practicing was on point. If I could give myself a great grade, it would be A+. And I'm not just saying that to say it, because you know when I've told you when I don't get an A+, you know, those calls to customer service sometimes, I don't get an A+. But getting carted to the hospital on false pretenses, on false accusations, in the middle of the night, 12 o'clock at night, in an ambulance, I couldn't be any more peaceful. I'm in the ambulance. And I tell the gentleman, I said, you know, I'm not in any pain. I don't know what you're going to do when you get to the ER, taking me to the emergency room. I don't know what you're going to tell them at the ER. I don't have any pain. And now both of the EMTs are looking at me and asking me, well, why are you in this gurney? And I shared the story, and I let them listen to the video. I said, I'm not in any pain. And I'm not a danger to myself. Well, one of the EMT guys really, really got angry. That's one of the things I love when others, let's see, hold on a second, audience. I have to just reboot this. Okay, there we go. And reboot the, okay. Well, one of the EMT gentlemen, he says, well, why are we admitting you? I said, I have no idea. I said, it's going to be not only resources, money that your company is spending, now the ER. So he got out. He both of them took me out of the ambulance, into the parking lot, rolled me right back to the back door and rang the doorbell. And Miss ERN opened the back door, saw who we are, and slammed the door. We were not going to be able to come back into the facility. And the EMTs were telling me, well, you want to be here. You don't want to go to the hospital. You don't need to go to the hospital. I said, yeah, you're right. We sat outside. I'm on a gurney, 12:30 at night. It's cold, probably for 45 minutes, while the EMT was calling his supervisor, was calling the director of the rehab center. And finally, I remember I told you there were two supervising nurses in charge. Finally, the other nurse opened the door and could not apologize enough. The point of the story is, that was a major, major challenge. In pain, untrue, I was uncomfortable, but I wasn't in pain. Thank goodness for OxyContin. I was uncomfortable, but I wasn't in pain. All of the things I could have been thinking, all of the stories I could have had in my head. The truth is, the universe blessed me with that circumstance to show me where I was with my practice: calm, cool, steady, and trusting that whatever happened, whether I went back to the hospital or stayed at the rehab center, it was wherever I was where I was supposed to be. Wherever I was part of my destiny, and ride it out in a calm, peaceful manner, with a calm, peaceful vibration. Well, I was being carted out on the gurney. People were clapping and applauding. Bye, Rebecca. You know, take care. It was something from a movie. And then when I came back, there was standing, clapping, Rebecca, and Nurse Missy was not to be seen. Needless to say, I left the facility the next morning at 5 a.m., but that's just another story. I mean, I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to stay there. But that whole incident of someone calling, fraudulently calling 911, I have everything on tape. That is what I mean when I say happiness and peace is a practice skill. Let me go to the callers. Let me go to my callers. I thank you for waiting. My first caller is area code 630. What's your first name? Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Hi. Welcome. Thank you for waiting.
Hi. Thanks.
Hi.
I really enjoyed listening to your thing, your speech or whatever it was, and what happened to you. It's
story.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, story.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm so glad you called, and I'm grateful for our connection. What's your question? What's going on?
So my question is, I really, really, really feel ready to move like I've never felt before. Like, well, never, not before, but like I've been in this place 8 years, and I toyed with it about 2-3 years ago. It just wasn't the right timing. So I really want to make the move this year with things like increasing so much in value. And I just feel like this is the year that I really need to do this. And I just don't know if I have the right thinking, though. Like I have in my condo, there was a leak and from the roof, and they're going to fix it. But they have to wait for the weather to get a little bit better. It's been very bad this spring. So, it's got to be sunny and everything because they have to do a lot of stuff of replacing wood down below and then the things on top, the tiles or whatever they are. So I understand that. I think and hope it should happen in May. I understand there's only a couple days this month where it was warm, so I do understand it wasn't done yet. I checked with her 2-3 times. I don't know if I should just not, like, look at all because I'm going to buy first. If I should just wait till this is fixed, or should I, just buy and then, just call her in May and, remind her it needs to get done really soon and that I might be moving. So I don't know, or if I should just wait till it's all done, because then I have to get a few weeks later it painted my ceiling. They're going to pay for it, the condo. So I don't know, if I should just put this on hold until the fall or move forward with being in the process of this being fixed. I mean, I know they're going to do it.
Okay, let me, have you listened to this show before?
No.
Okay, perfect. Perfect, my dear Lisa. When people ask me questions about the future, about their future and wanting to know or wanting to get a little bit more solid in the direction of where they're going and all of that, when people ask those type of questions, I usually give the same answer, which is, but well, first of all, let me just get back because I love for people to learn the practice, in their own practice. I say we are as different as our fingerprints. So my question to you is, do you have an active relationship with the universe or God or whatever you call it?
I believe he's telling me to, I have conversations and I think he's telling me to wait, that don't push it, just kind of go a little slower here and just let them fix this and then it might be more the fall. That's the right time.
Okay.
I'm kind of getting a message that,
let me tell you something. Let me say something. When you were saying all of that, my body was chilling up. I was getting chills.
Really?
So I always get chills when I hear the truth or I speak the truth. So when you were saying that God was telling you to wait, my body just started immediately chilling up.
But he's also telling me that this is the year. Like I get messages very strong that it's time to just really, really Like, don't wait on it. Once you find something that's pretty good, it doesn't have to be perfect. You need to do that. You need to then move and spend the extra money, and you're worth it. And, you know, I just keep on getting messages every day that it's just time. So I don't know.
And
I'm hoping that that's
And so this is what I want to share with you, my dear Lisa. This is what I want to share. That your relationship and then a relationship that you have with the universe, and you're getting messages and strong messages. What happens is the ego wants to put in its two cents, and the ego or the mind is always with the questions. Is it the right time? Is it, in other words, the ego wants certainty. That's who's wanting certainty. It's not you, your spiritual consciousness, you. It's the ego that wants to know certainty. One of the things that I practice is letting go is being okay with uncertainty. So when you have any questions or any doubts, especially since you said you have a relationship with the universe, your inspiration comes whatever day it's going to come, you're just not going to know. So the practice is being okay with not knowing, being okay with uncertainty, and also practicing patience. Let me just share a story. In 2017, I've been living in California all my life. So I retired in 2017. But I knew, just like you said, I had to get out of California. I didn't know why. But I knew I had to leave. And when I was younger, one of my things is when I was younger, I was probably 18 years old, I remember asking the universe, I want to retire, and I want to live in a place surrounded by trees. I wanted to live in the middle of a forest. I want to live in the middle of a forest, universe. And I was at 18 years old. Now at 60, whatever, I think I was 62. And now it's 62, and I was pushed very strongly to leave California. But before that, I started looking at houses in Oregon. And I'd never lived in Oregon, don't know anybody in Oregon. I looked at houses in Portland. I looked at houses in Eugene. I looked at houses in Coos Bay. I didn't have any real reason, but I was following my inspiration. See, the ego wants to have answers. And I'm telling you that the universe doesn't necessarily give answers that far in advance, but that definitely you will always be on your path. You will always be on the road. You will always be on your journey. You cannot not be on your journey. So in 2017, September 2017, I moved to the middle of the forest, don't know anybody. And for four and a half years, my dear Lisa, in the middle of the forest, 10 months later, I said, universe, why am I here? Nobody. I was by myself. I'm crying. Why am I here? Finally, 10 months later, Lisa, I get the answer. And the answer was, because you outgrew California. It's time to grow here in Oregon in the middle of the forest. So so I was inspired to look at homes, and I found something. So my answer to you is, do you know the difference? Well, my question, do you know the difference between your ego, critical mind, and how it's speaking and what it's saying, and what the universe is telling you? It's a big difference, those two entities. Do you know the difference?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Like, I made enough good decisions and bad decisions in my life, because I'm older, to know, like, when you get a sense of peace and you just know that it's right, it's the time to act. But if there's doubts or uncertainties, then you need to then just wait until you get the answers, like you said. Like, I do know that. And that's why, like, I feel like
now I'm
just
getting chills
stronger
again.
But not until this is fixed, and they have to fix it in the spring, you know.
But I'm getting chills when you said that, when you said to wait. So if you know the difference, know that the ego mind will do anything, anything to, number one, survive, to be the focus of your attention, to make you feel uncertain, to ask the questions. One of the biggest practices, and I'm going to throw this at you, is trusting. And when the practice is going out and having the conversation, hey, universe, hey, God, how do I practice? How do I trust? How can I trust more? Because that's really what's going on. It's the battle between you, your conscious you, and that ego, that mind. And so the ego doesn't want
you
to
trust more. How do you trust more? Excuse me. Sorry.
Here we go. Now I'm mm-hmm. getting chills again. Let me, you know, when you say ask the question how, that's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
The job is for, I go outside every day. More than once, sometimes I don't. But my conversations with the universe, especially, I call it my church. I go outside, feet on the ground, palms up in the air, and I ask the universe, how do I trust more? How do I practice trust more? How do I trust more in the middle of uncertainty? And you let it go, my dear Lisa. You know, the universe works with ease. The fish doesn't have to ask, how do I learn how to swim? So if there's any questions, all of those questions are just, number one, authored by the ego. Number two, lacking of trust. Number three, especially because you know how to communicate and you have the relationship. Number three, letting go and this is the other thing, patience, my dear, sweet, wonderful Lisa. Having patience with the process.
Yeah, that's so ruined me in the past. Oh, my God. Not having the patience,
well,
you know,
leads well,
you to
well,
the wrong
me
for
this.
Me.
Let me say this. The statements about ruined and made mistakes, you know better than that. You know that everything happened.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, that's a little strong. It didn't ruin me. I had to learn lessons from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, you already know. You know what I am? You know what I am? All I am is a reminder. A reminder mm-hmm. to trust and to have patience. Because you can already feel the vibrate. You can already feel when you're inspired, and you can already feel when it's time to act. So what I would say is, when you're inspired to look, when you're inspired to look at properties or move, just do it. I was inspired the other day, 3 o'clock in the morning, to get up and start writing. 3 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing, universe? Go sit your ass down and start writing, because I'm finishing the chapter and I'm finishing my second book, Program for Unhappiness. Just start writing. Okay.
Okay.
So
I really, you know, appreciate that because, you know, I really struggled with this for a while, but it's just gotten stronger and stronger, this wanting to move. I mean, you know, I feel like 8 years
no,
is more
but,
than
but
enough.
No,
just,
but no, my dear Lisa, know that you're not the struggle. It's your ego and your mind that's struggling. And it is there. That's its purpose is to struggle. So it's not you that's struggling. Know the difference. You follow
yeah,
me?
Yeah, and get, you
trust?
Know, just go with the feelings, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Go with it. You know, I'm like, why is this so strong now? Why didn't I feel like that 5 years ago? Well, because it wasn't the right time. There's a time for everything, I guess.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, I could just hug you. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Because I'm like, well, why would I feel so strongly this year? And
well,
it's like,
see,
well,
the,
it's just
and there is a reason. And there is a reason why, because it's time. However, still, it's that ego that wants to survive. The ego mind wants to live, do, you know,
yeah.
Just know the difference. And thank
okay.
you for calling. I really appreciate
thank you.
It.
I'm going to stay
practice
on.
Practice trust.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. You know, I probably should make this show a little bit longer, the show 45 minutes. I am going to be on Fireside this week on Thursday. You can download Fireside Thursday at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Fireside, and then every Sunday on Blog Talk Radio. Well, what a great show. Thank you for listening. I want to say that Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I am live on video every Thursday evening on Fireside at 6 p.m. On Fireside app. Visit my website, RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a few videos on YouTube, but that whole channel is a work in progress. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And I wrote a chapter recently in the book I Read, which was released March the 29th and now is an Amazon bestseller. It's called The Book I Read. It's a collaboration of about 40 to 50 authors. They're sharing their personal stories about which books influenced them the most. Which book do you think influenced me the most? Ooh, which author do you think influenced me the most? Woo! Well, I'll give you a hint. No, I'm not. I'm going to let you figure that out. I'm going to let you discover that. It's going to be an easy read. So my second book, the one I'm writing, Program for Unhappiness, is going to be published sometime this year. So until next time, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always changing. You're always evolving. You're always growing. Love is patient. And love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself in every moment. Be your own best friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with yours truly, happiness specialist and inner peace practitioner, Rebecca L. Norrington. Remember, happiness is a practice skill. And I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will find. Your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Talk to you next week.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RLM?
Yeah,
it's time to get some answers, baby. Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Now,
what I'm about to say,
time to get real.